Almost every year since 2007, a new wind energy plantation has gone into service in Maine. Last December, New England's biggest yet joined the mix, spinning 56 turbines from the hills of the Bingham region, about 30 miles east of the Sugarloaf Ski Resort as the crow flies. Today, the blades in Bingham turn a slow waltz atop a series of white 300-foot pylons that string out across the misty ridgelines.
It's mostly fiberglass. They have a spar that runs down through the middle as the main beam support. But, they just float on the wind.
Stacy Fitz manages the Bingham Wind Plantation and other assets held by Novatus, a J.P. Morgan affiliate that's one of many investors to pick up the pieces after the nation's biggest renewable energy company, SunEdison, went bankrupt last year. Above us, as the turbines transform wind energy into electrons, I can hear it in my headphones.
I'm getting some really interesting interference here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It could be electrical. Yeah.
Wind turbines have proliferated because they serve public policies that require renewable generation in the mix. And developers have focused on Maine because it's the windiest part of New England. But Maine already has more renewable energy than it needs, so this renewable energy, it's serving contracts with customers in Massachusetts and Vermont.
This is a commodity, just like our forest products industry or some of the other native industries to Maine. Maine has something that's marketable. And to be able to take advantage of it in a way that's clean, it's benefiting Maine.
Actually, for the first time in a decade, the product isn't so marketable.
There doesn't seem to be as wide an appetite for some of these new wind farms in northern New England that there was even just a few years ago. And I'm not sure if that's going to change anytime soon.
Dan Dolan is executive director of the New England Power Generators Association. Dolan and many other industry players note that Maine wind energy projects were shut out last fall when they bid on a big southern New England clean energy power contract. Solar and wind projects closer to the demand centers were the real winners. Being close to demand matters because, as of now, there's no more room on Maine's transmission system to bring new wind power from remote locations to market.
It was not designed with the purpose of integrating large quantities of generation.
Al McBride is director of transmission strategy for the region's grid system operator, ISO New England. He says Maine's part of the system was originally constructed to handle local electricity usage and to connect Maine with New Hampshire and New Brunswick. But the system now has added more than 750 megawatts of wind-generated electric capacity in Maine over the last decade. Adding much more, McBride says, would be like crowding an unpaved carriage road with tandem trailer trucks.
And there's no remaining headroom on the system.
McBride's job includes analyzing what kind of infrastructure investments would add enough of that headroom to allow the safe and reliable addition of new generation. He and ISO New England are analyzing possible solutions and costs now. Some other groups preliminarily estimate the cost of bringing significant new wind energy from Maine to southern New England at $2 billion and upwards, depending on assumptions about the region's demand over the next 8 to 12 years. The costliness of the added headroom is at least part of why a northern Maine project twice the size of the one I just visited in western Maine recently put construction on hold, forcing the abandonment of a contract with two Connecticut utilities. It's part of why, after years of juggling multiple applications for new wind plantations, Maine land use regulators are now handling exactly none. So while developers consider their next moves, opponents of industrial wind in Maine are taking a tentative breath.
It's been basically a good combination to press pause.
Chris O'Neill is a consultant who represents a group called Friends of Maine's Mountains.
But there's still an interest by wind developers to sink steel in the ground.
O'Neill says pressure is on for new wind generators to qualify for a federal tax credit that ends soon. And there's another hurry-up that's got wind skeptics on alert. A recent Massachusetts RFP seeking enough renewable energy to serve hundreds of thousands of Bay State homes. Industry players in Maine plan to bid, and they are looking to cut costs by integrating clusters of wind and transmission projects, and, they hope, become competitive again for Southern New England's renewable energy customers. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.